one more.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Talents that are going to be shown. And Alex Grobe is going to give a message at the end. So Alex Grobe is one of our teachers. So welcome everybody, welcome visitors, and we're going to get started here in a second. I'm going to open in prayer and we'll get started. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for this nice day that we can be together and celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, the one that was foretold to save his people. And we're thankful that this child grew in grace and he sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary for us. And we want to thank him and praise him. We want to celebrate this birth and the incarnation that was so important to each and everyone here today and in the world. So we continue in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. All right, so we've got a diverse program. We've got some songs, we've got some skits, we've got some different instruments that will be played. So I'm going to ask if Jonathan and Jacob Rajan can come up. And they're going to present something. He Became One of Us is the title of their part. And here's a microphone. Would you like to use this microphone?
Yeah.
Each of you separately? Okay. Here, you can use this one.
He became one of us.
John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
He entered our world, we see God coming into our world and taking on a human body.
Jesus is God who became man. He did not stay in the safety of heaven.
He entered our world, he breathed our air.
He shared our pain, he lived our life.
And died our death, he became one of us.
He became human without ceasing to be God and walked among us. This is the central idea of Christmas.
We are not alone in this world. God came near and became one of us. He died for us and rose again.
If God can leave all his comforts in heaven and become one of us, how much more should we praise and thank him for what he has done on the cross for us?
May his name be glorified.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Now, our next one will be our preschool and kindergarten class. Oh, there they are. Okay. I was wondering where they went. Let's
move that out of the way.
Okay, they're going to sing Away in a Manger. And there's also a verse, Matthew 1:21. Yeah.
Here, I'll let you.
Okay. All right. Come here, you guys. Okay, are you ready?
20. We will bear a son. You should call his name Jesus. Save his people from his sins. Matthew 28. Matthew 1. Matthew 1.
Okay, you ready? Ready to sing Away in the Manger? Mr. Dan's going to help us, okay? Okay.
Away in the manger, how before our bed, is the Lord Jesus, the sweet head, the stars and the sign, now the highway, little the Lord Jesus, we on the hay.
Okay, good job, kids. So next, Ethan Guma is going to play the piano. Ethan's going to play the piano, and he's going to play Angels We Have Heard on High. Nice job, Ethan. Next, we're going to have a skit by Ian, Isaiah, Elena, Rhodes, and Taylor. So they're going to come up and do their skit. It's called the Candy Cane Skit. Ready? We give them the mic. I'm gonna give you guys the mic.
Please check under your seats. There are only a few fortunate ones who receive a special gift under their seat.
Please raise your hands if you would like to win a prize.
You can't get a gift to everyone.
Do you know what is free and everyone can have?
Celebration! John 3:16. For God so loved the world, gave his own begotten son. Whoever believes him should not perish, but have eternal life.
But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship.
Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Christ Jesus our Lord.
Matthew 1, verse 21. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Have you heard of the legend of the candy cane?
Look at the candy cane.
Look at the candy cane. What do you see?
Stripes that are red like blood shed for me.
White is for my Savior who is sinless and pure.
J is for Jesus my Lord, that's for sure.
Turn it around in a staff you will see.
Jesus my shepherd is coming for me.
Okay, now we
Okay, thank you. Very good. Next, we're going to have O Come All Ye Faithful by some Albanians, is what I was told. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, Samuel Myers is going to play his trumpet. He's going to play Hark the Herald. And whenever you're ready, Samuel. Okay, very good. Thank you, Samuel. Next is going to be the fifth grade class skit. Sixth grade. Sorry. Sixth grade skit. I don't have a title for the skit.
A meeting of the Committee of God's Prophets. Topic: the Messiah.
Do you need another?
Nope, just one.
I am Moses, the chairman of this committee of God's prophets. The topic of today's meeting is the Messiah. The people have, in all of our times, been asking questions about the Savior, when he'll be born, why is it important for him to be born, and other things like that. That's why God had to have this meeting to go over the plans he's given us. First, let us do the attendance. Please state your names for the record.
David,
Jeremiah,
Isaiah,
Daniel,
John!
Thank you. Now, on today's business. Over the past few weeks, you should have gotten your assignments from God. They will have been the word of the Lord, possibly coming in forms of dreams, visions, oracles, or such as a means of inspiration. Good, good. Then we'll begin. Let's go in chronological order. Yes, John?
Do you mean chronological, like starting with the Messiah's birth, or chronological, like starting with the earliest prophet? Because I'm either going first or last, and that's a pretty big difference.
I think we'd start with the earliest prophet, if there are no objections.
No problems.
Yay, no objections here!
Thank you, John. And I believe that has me going first. God has told me that I am responsible for writing down what he had told our fathers, the patriarchs, as well as those things that has happened during my lifetime. Before my time, Abraham was told that the whole world would be blessed through him. And later, Jacob was told the same. When Jacob was blessing his sons before his death, he prophesied that the Savior would descended from Judah. This means that the Savior will be descended from Abraham, Jacob, and Judah, and he will save the whole world. There will be an oracle given by Balaam that predicts a king coming from Jacob who would crush Israel's enemies. This predicts both our king, David, as well as the Messiah. In addition to the direct prophecy, God has given me the task of creating pictures and situations that will foreshadow the Savior. For example, I will explain the concept of atonement and give God's command that the blood of the pure and innocent must be used to cover and make up for sin. I will be using goats and lambs and other animals without blemish for sacrifices. But this will predict the Messiah, who will be the perfect sacrifice that will not need to be repeated. Additionally, when the people have been bitten by venomous snakes, I will put a bronze serpent on the pole so that they can look at it and they will not die. And I am told that this is a picture of the Savior as well, and that he will be lifted up like the serpent to save people. Finally, God has given me a prophecy of my own to give to the people. I am to predict a prophet like me who will come from the people and speak God's word. This prophet will be a mediator between God and Israel, so that they can hear God's voice. This concludes my report. I believe David is next.
Yes, thanks as usual. Thank you. As usual, I'm here on behalf of the entire Psalmist Committee, but most of what I have to report today is my own assignments. A lot of what God has given us is symbolism and foreshadowing, but I'll highlight a few of the more specific examples. In one case, it is told that the Savior's enemies will plot against him, but that he will not do anything to defend himself. Another example tells that someone who the Savior breaks bread with will betray him. God also revealed to me many details of the Messiah's suffering and death, including many words he will say.
Wait. I thought you said some of this wrote a lot of like comforting and peaceful stuff. Like people read it to feel calmer and less anxious. This all sounds really depressing.
Unfortunately, someone does have to suffer for our sins, but I'm getting to the comforting stuff, I promise. Anyway, mixed in with some of the suffering passages, there are a lot of promises that God won't actually abandon the Savior for us, for that matter, to death. He also says there will be suffering, but he won't let death be the ultimate end. The Messiah will ascend to heaven after triumphing over his enemies, and he'll give us gifts that he received while among us. There are also a lot of promises that God will deliver his people. If I were to go over all of those, we'd be here all day.
I also have a note here from Nathan that you bring his report as well.
Oh, yes. God sent his word to Nathan, telling Nathan to tell me some things, the part that's relevant to this meeting is that God promised me that my and my offspring's throne would be established forever. The Savior will come from my descendants.
Thank you, David, and congratulations. Hosea, I believe you are next.
God told me that this world, the Savior will be
Thank you, Hosea. Isaiah?
I have a lot to report. I've tried to organize it generally chronologically for clarity, and I'll try to be brief. First of all, God tells me to reassure the people that the Messiah is coming, and he'll take care for us as a shepherd takes care for his sheep. Another prophecy that he will come from Jesse. Who's David's father. Before the Messiah comes, there will be a forerunner who will prepare the way for him. The sign of the Messiah is that he will be born of a virgin, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Messiah will be the light and joy of his people. He will be a wonderful, a counselor, the mighty God, our eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, and he will take David's throne and rule forever with justice and righteousness. God has also told me that the Savior's ministry will begin in Galilee. His ministry is prophesied to be miraculous. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, and so on. The Lord has also told me that the Messiah will suffer, and suffer willingly. None of his specific words at his death have been revealed to me, as they were to David. But I have been given understanding of what will happen on a more spiritual level. He will carry our griefs and sorrows, and he will take our punishment for our sins. His punishment will bring us peace, and his wounds are healing. He will do all this without complaining. God also tells me to tell the people that one day the Savior will swallow up death forever, saving us even from death itself. Additionally, I'm told that he will pour his Spirit upon our offspring. I've been given these promises for the Gentiles also, that the root of Jesse, that is the Messiah, will be a signal to all peoples who gather to him. He will bring his justice to all nations, and he will do it not with violence or destruction. There's a lot more, but those are the main points.
Thank you very much, Isaiah. Next up, we have Micah.
Like Hosea, I don't have much to report. The word of the Lord came to me saying that the Messiah will be born in the small town of Bethlehem Ephrath. He is to be the ruler in Israel whose coming forth is from a long time ago.
Thank you, Micah. Jeremiah.
Oh, my turn now. Okay, God said that the Messiah's blood will be used to confirm or ratify a new covenant. He will make with Israel and Judah. He will write the law on the people's hearts, and they will be able to know him personally. He will also forgive the iniquity of the people and not remain their sins anymore. God also said the days are coming when he will fulfill the promise of salvation, and he gives to Judah and Israel. He will cause a branch to spring up from David. That's the Savior. And the Savior will execute justice and righteousness and bring salvation.
Thank you for that report, Jeremiah. That all sounds wonderful. Daniel, I believe you are next.
God sent me visions, and I saw the Messiah coming me with the clouds of heaven. He is given a kingdom made up of all people, nations, and languages, and the kingdom will never be destroyed. God also sent Gabriel to tell me a little about when the Savior will come and some of what will happen before and after his coming. The Messiah's coming is something God has planned for a specific time. It's not just a vague promise, it's for some time in the future.
Thank you. Now, Zechariah, what do you have to share?
I have been given an oracle that the Messiah will come into Jerusalem with righteousness and salvation. He will be humble, riding on a donkey's colt like one who brings peace rather than war. The Lord my God also tells me that the Savior will be sold for 30 silver pieces, the price of a slave, and then the money will be thrown away into a potter's field.
Thank you, Zechariah. Malachi couldn't make it today, but he said that John was familiar with his work. John, would you mind telling us about it?
I can do that. So God told Malachi that he was going to send a messenger ahead of the messenger of the covenant. The messenger was going to be like the prophet Elijah, going before the Messiah in the spirit and power of Elijah. And I think that's a lot of it that important for this meeting.
Thank you. And your own report?
Oh, yeah, right. So that's me, the foreigner Isaiah mentioned, and the messenger God told Malachi.
about not the messenger of the covenant. That's Jesus, but the... messenger sent ahead of him. I was born to prepare the way for Jesus. I was supposed to preach the resurrection and actually acting like you repented. I also been baptizing people with the water to foreshadow the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. That's the Messiah will perform. I'm not the Christ or Elijah, but I work in the spirit of Elijah and to prepare the people for Jesus coming. I will tell them that Jesus is coming and that he is greater than me or anyone else.
Thank you, John. You should all now have a better understanding of the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the Savior. Make sure you tell the people everything God has told you to them, but nothing more. And that concludes the meeting of the Committee of God's Prophets on the topic of the Messiah. Meeting adjourned.
Okay, next we're going to have Serena, Sabrina, Ariel, and Leah singing Noel.
Because I have this compassion.
Jonathan Rogin is going to play the piano now, and he's going to play Away in a Manger. Thank you. Okay, the first and second grade class, Jesus Strong and Kind, is a song, and then there's going to be some verses.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save their people from their sins.
And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord.
Luke 1:47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.
For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Luke 1:49.
Jesus.
will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus strong and kind. Jesus strong and kind.
Okay, next we have Wesley, Preston, and Jonathan, and Ethan. They're going to do a song for us.
Oh, Mr. Neal, you forgot to prepare a song, so I don't really know what to do. So, what?
What do you mean you forgot? We got you on the schedule right here. Everyone's expecting a song. You're going to have to come up with something.
Mr. Neal, there's this new AI assistant that can generate songs for us. Could we use that?
That's pretty unconventional, but okay, let's see what you can do.
Okay, Mr. Jim, can you pull up Genesis AI assistant?
Hey,
from
Genesis.
The makers of Cooties, wow.
Can you create a Christmas song?
Beep, 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 boop, boop. Yes, just one moment. Generating, beep, 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 boop, 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 beep. Generating complete. Playing Christmas song.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
Stop, stop, stop. Jingle bells? Really? This is a chapel Christmas program? We're talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus, not jingle bells. I told you this before. No jingle bells, right?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. We're all really sorry. Yeah, we'll make sure this never happens again. I'm actually so sorry. Maybe could we try again?
Okay, better be good.
Hey, Genesis, can you create a Christmas song about Jesus?
Beep, 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 boop, boop. Yes, just one moment. Generating, beep, 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 boop, beep, boop, boop, beep. Generating complete. Playing Christmas songs about Jesus.
Dashing through the world with good news to proclaim, sharing joy and love, all in Jesus' name. Hope and peace He brings to every heart and home. Lift your voice, rejoice and sing, for Jesus on His throne. Oh, Jesus saves, born on Christmas Day. He came to earth to bring us life and take our sins away. Hey, Jesus saves, sing it loud today. Our Savior, King, O Lord of all, will guide us every day. Though He came to Bethlehem that night, a star above the manger shone His holy light. Angels filled the sky, shepherds came to see. The baby born to change the world that set His people free. Oh, Jesus saves, born on Christmas Day. He came to earth to give us life and take our sins away. Hey, Jesus saves, sing it loud today. Our Savior, King, the Lord of all, will guide us every day.
All right, very clever. From the makers of Cooties. Wow, this is great. Okay, nobody else gets to use that for the rest of the program. Okay, so we're going to have the Guma kids come up, and they're going to sing Jesus, Joy of Highest Heaven. And we'll also have some verses. No verses, just song. Okay. Okay, so we're nearing the end here. We've got our last song here, and our Sunday school kids are going to come up and sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So the kids can make their way up, and as they're making their way up, I'll let you know that Alex Grobe will give the message after this. And then after the message, we'll sing one final song, Silent Night. We'll all sing that together. After that, I invite all the kids and, well, I invite everyone to go downstairs. We have to-go cookie boxes, one per family. So one per family, you have a cookie box to go. And also the kids, you can pick up your present from the your Christmas present and our teachers as well. So Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We've been working on this a little bit for the last few weeks with all the kids. Thanks to Dan for working on that.
Sing glory to the newborn King. He
Okay, thank you. So I will introduce Alex Grobe. He's one of our teachers. He teaches the middle school boys. So, Alex.
Good morning. So, two things I'd like to get straight before I start. The first one is, a number of years ago, Ray Giannini, who's one of the elders here, and I had a conversation about making sure when you come on Sunday, you're dressed appropriately in your Sunday best. Sorry, I took a different route this morning. The second one is, as was pointed out earlier, the talent portion of the evening is concluded. So I don't know what that says about the next few minutes, but I'm sorry. So we come together this time of year to celebrate, and thanks for joining us. I think that talent show was fantastic. And I wanted to pause for a few minutes to maybe think about some of the things that we celebrate. So I did a couple things, a lot of internet research. So some of the primary examples, maybe you get caught up this time of the year in reindeer, like I am at the moment. Guy in a red suit is going to come down the chimney, give you lots of gifts, whether you're on the naughty list or the nice list. Maybe you get really tied up in purchasing gifts. So because I'm an engineer and statistics and numbers make everything better, I have a few statistics and numbers to throw out at you about this time of the year, which is the largest commercial time of the year. Since 1992, December has been the time of the year where the most money is spent on buying things in our economy. So last year, there was about $964 billion spent during the Christmas holidays, with people focusing on that as the primary thing at Christmas that they were interested in. That was up about 3.8% from last year. If you're keeping score, Mother's Day comes in second, so moms, you're second to Christmas, but only about a third of that amount of money is spent on Mother's Day. So for last year, that was about $1,750 in spending at Christmas per person. I don't know who came up with that number. That's not my number. I didn't check the math on that one. Experts say that you should spend, the experts in air quotes there, that you should spend about 1 to 2% of your annual salary on buying gifts at Christmas time. So if you want to do the math, this math I did check, this is my own math. That means your annual income, if you were spending at that rate last year, was $87,500 a year to $175,000 a year to hit that number. So the world sort of focuses us on commercialism at this time of the year, that was very successful in taking this season and making it a commercial event. The estimates this year are that you should spend about $2,100 on buying your gifts at Christmas. So kids, write that number down. Check in with me later to see what happened. So that is what the world seems to focus on. As I was doing my research, that was sort of the number one thing was, well, you should spend money, you should go out to dinner, you should buy gifts for people. And the number one focus seemed to be on commercialism. So the next thing I did was I said, well, what about traditions? Because Christmas is usually a time we focus also on traditions. So I checked out a number of lists of the most common or best traditions to uphold, new and old. So this is where there's the first wardrobe change of the evening. So Good Housekeeping has a list of 42 traditions, and perhaps maybe Santa Claus isn't your thing, reindeers. Maybe it's an ugly sweater event. So you don't usually get to wear ugly sweaters at church, but here we are this morning. So one thing I took notice of on this list as I read through the 42 things from Good Housekeeping that we should keep or start as traditions is that not a single one of them involved attending a church service. There was nothing about the birth of the Messiah, of anything even remotely religious. A lot of it, again, had to do with going shopping, going out to dinner. Some things were not necessarily bad things, like maybe spending time at a homeless shelter volunteering to help people less fortunate than you. But I was a little struck with the fact that not a single of the 42 traditions that they identified had anything to do with even religion, if I looked at it that way, coming to church, celebrating this time of year for the true reason of the season. So I don't forget my note cards here. So I want to take a moment to think about what traditions are important to you and your family this time of year. What are the things that you like to do? What are the things that you celebrate? So then, and this has absolutely nothing to do with the skit that we had a few minutes ago, and I apologize because I was just banned, I heard, from using Genesis AI. I didn't intentionally ask AI, but now apparently anytime you search on the internet, you're going to get an AI answer. So I was searching for what do people think is the true meaning of Christmas, and I'd like to read what Google's AI responded to because it's not terrible. It gives me a little bit of hope about this whole AI revolution thing maybe turning out better than Hollywood tells us it will. But this is what AI said. The true meaning of Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who Christians believe is the Son of God. It's a time to reflect on love, joy, family, and giving. Here are some ways to experience the meaning of Christmas. Give thanks, express gratitude for love, hope, and joy found in Jesus. Exchange gifts, remember the gift of God's love and that we are never alone. Be charitable, become more accepting, generous, and charitable in both gifts and emotions. Connect with others, be social and share with others. Volunteer, help the homeless, visit the elderly, or help family members. Focus on Jesus, discover the personal meaning of Christmas for you. So like I said, that's not terrible. But I think maybe still falls a little bit short of what actually is the true meaning of Christmas. So why is it that we here, that myself, my family, what do we celebrate? What do we look forward to this time of the year? And as you've heard today, it's the birth of Christ, who came to this world to be born as a human, who wasn't any less God when he was here, but I'm sure had to give up some things because I don't think a human body can even contain what it is that it means to be God and the creator of the universe. So that's the true meaning. And I'd like to read a couple of verses from 1 John. And I was really keeping track this morning, both in our first service and in the talent show, to see if anyone else read these same verses. And nobody did. So they were alluded to, but not read. So I would like to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 12 through 14. And this is about this child that came to this world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and in life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. Oops, one page too far. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But in as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's why we focus on this time of the year. We remember that God the Son, came down to this world, constrained himself to a human body, lived here for 30-some years, had a ministry of about 3 years. But the real reason why that's important isn't just because some baby was born many years ago, but because of who that child was and what he came to this world to do. If I go back to that naughty and nice list, we sort of look at that and we understand it in some sort of way as a judgment. Am I more bad or more good so I can be on that naughty list or that nice list? But to be honest, none of that matters. We all understand at some level that there's a penalty for doing something wrong, for sin. And God sent his Son to this world to be born, to live, to die, and to raise again to pay that penalty for us. Because no matter what, no matter how good we try to be, this is going to take a minute. Forgot about the mic. No matter how good we try to be, even if we were to live a life by the world standards that was amazing, fantastic, we tried never to do anything wrong, this is the best we can offer. Our works are filthy rags, dirty things that are unworthy to be in the presence of God or in heaven. And that's the true gift that we get this time of the year, is that Christ came to this world offering himself to us freely so that we can take everything that we think we have and recognize that it's filthy, it's dirty, it has no place before a holy God. But his son who came and died on the cross, I promise this is the last wardrobe change. What he gives us is by his sacrifice, those dirty rags can be made clean, and we can be washed and have holiness placed on us that we didn't earn or deserve. And we have the ability then to accept that free gift and to stand at some point in the presence of God outside of punishment with no penalty for our sin. Not because we deserved it, but because God came, sent his son, and he died on the cross to forgive us from our sins. And that's why we celebrate this time of the year. That's what's important. So certainly as you leave here today, there's a song afterwards, so I'm not dismissing you. As you leave here today and go back out into the world this time of the year, spend time with family, spend time with friends, enjoy this time of the year, relax a little bit. Do some of those things that AI said would be good to do, because that was a pretty good list of things that you can do to enjoy this time of the year. But remember the real reason why we celebrate. Make sure that's a focus of all the things that you do, because that light that I read about transfers to us as believers, and we have the ability to go out into the world and shine that light and bring others in to that same saving grace that took us from dirty, filthy rags and makes us acceptable to God. Again, not because of us, but because of what his son did for us on the cross. So I'd like to close in a word of prayer before we have our final hymn. Lord, we thank you that you sent your son to this world, that we take time out of our schedules this year, this time of the year, to celebrate his birth. We know his birth is important because it is ultimately the thing that leads us to the ability to be free from the penalty of our sin by his sacrifice that came later after his ministry, being in this world, tempted without sin, offering himself as a perfect sacrifice for us to cover our sins, to wash us clean. We thank you that you sent him. We thank you that he accepted that honor, that sacrifice to make himself a sacrifice for us. We ask that you would help us to keep that focus this time of the year, to share that gift with as many others as we can. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Alex. We're going to now, I'm going to ask the Sunday school kids to go in the hallway and pick something up from Mrs. Guma. And we are going to turn in our hymnals to 628. 628 should be Silent Night, yeah, Silent Night. Dan's going to play the guitar. Dan, thanks again. And Dan has been leading the singing downstairs with the kids. And some of the kids are also participating with their instruments. So we've had a nice, good time in the basement singing these Christmas songs and other songs, Sunday school songs that we've enjoyed over the year. So as the kids are prepping, you can turn to 628 and they will enter shortly, and we will end the meeting with Silent Night, and then we invite you to go downstairs, help yourself one to each family for a to-go cookie box. And I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Appreciate you all coming.
Okay, so we're on hymn 628, Silent Night.
Hershey bar.